This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. Tonight, you've got the pleasure of myself and Ben. Ben, how are you?
Hello, mate. All good. It seems like it's been a while since you and I have done one of these.
Yeah, it's been a long while. Whilst you may not have seen enough of me and Ben over the last few weeks, you can catch his Who Are You, which is live on the YouTube channel at the moment. I think it's going out as a podcast on Friday. So if you want to get a little bit more insight into Ben and his Millwall story, please feel free to check that out. Tonight, we've got a little bit of a summary show as such. We're going to be discussing the last couple of fixtures, Swansea and unfortunately Huddersfield at the Den. We'll move on to Zian Fleming and his current form, and then we'll talk about the season so far and perhaps the season what's left. So, Ben, start with Swansea. as Mickey says, our northern correspondent was down for the fixture last Tuesday. Seems ages ago now after playing the weekend. But what did you make of the game?
Yeah, look. I think it wasn't the best performance by us by a long stretch. I was quite impressed by Swansea, actually. In a way, they kept the ball very well. I never felt like... Sometimes you watch Millwall and you've got your head in your hands at times and you feel like, oh, we're getting bombarded and it's just a matter of a time till a team scored. I didn't really feel like that with them. I felt like I had a lot of possession. I didn't really do a great deal with it. But as I say, I was still quite impressed with Swansea. I thought... Again, I was quite surprised we'd started with the same 11 that we had done on the Saturday against Reading. And we looked a bit leggy from what everyone had said, or we have done for quite a while now, but we looked a bit tired. I was quite surprised that we'd started with the same 11. And it was just a really well grounded out 3 points at the end. I mean, as I say, the two goals were extremely scrappy. The keeper's thrown the second one in for Voggy. And obviously, Creswell / Bradders' goalmouth scramble, come shot thing went in for the first goal. So, look, it wasn't pretty, but it was a very good 3 points in the end. And when you look at the stats of the game, if someone hadn't have been there, they would have gone, oh my God, Millwall been battered. And as I said, I didn't really feel like we had been. They kept a lot of the ball, Swansea, but they didn't really seem to... It wasn't like a bombardment on our goal constantly. But yeah, it wasn't a game for the purists, but a good 3 points.
I think as well, to be fair, their goal was a massive ricochet off of one of ours. Or maybe, yeah, it was. No, sorry, it was one of theirs, because it went down as a man in goal. So the kind of quality, all three goals were lack of quality, really, in when you talk about them. The other thing as well, which is quite interesting, is they've got, is it Pirro? Their striker, the guy that scored a lot of goals last year.
They've got the guy from... Sheffield United as well, the guy that came off the bench, and his name escapes me now, the young lad, tall fella, can't think of his name. He came on in the second half. Great show, this great insight. I can't remember his name,
but they didn't have the danger manner, did they? They didn't have as you say, they were impressive on the ball and they kept the ball well, they played out from the back well, they managed to beat the press, but they were almost missing that killer striker, the man to make the run. A similar, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Tom Bradshaw is the perfect Championship striker, but if they had someone that they could get in behind on the end of those passes, they would probably be quite a, you know, a decent side and probably further up the league. But when you're playing nice football, you kind of have to finish it off. And apart from the deflected goal, they just didn't look like they were going to finish off.
Yeah, the nice as I say, they had a great, they had a lot of possession, but as you say, it was kind of sideways. We got quite into a decent shape. They didn't really tear us apart. They weren't getting in behind our fullbacks a lot, and they weren't getting in between or in the 10 row a lot. The guy that used to play for Celtic, was it Cham? And Cham, whatever his name is, the guy who's got the N in front of his name. He got a lot of the ball. He looked probably their best player at times and was the most dangerous. But so, yeah, I never really felt like, yeah, they didn't really get in behind the fullbacks. They weren't turning the centre-halves. It was all in front of us. And that just was testament probably to how well we defended, really. We let them have the ball and... as you say, they're probably only one or two players away from being a really decent side. I like the manager as well, Russell Martin. He'd be someone that someone like that I'd love to have at some point at Millwall, really, a young manager like that. But yeah, as I say, they never really, they had a lot of the ball. They didn't really look like they were ever going to break us down too much. And so it wasn't like Long was making save after save and we were really hanging on. So yeah, but it was just a good 3 points at this stage of the season.
The thing is as well, interesting you say that, in most of the games of recent weeks, I know Norwich scored 3 goals, which might sound a bit strange, but Long isn't really making that many saves. He's not, I know, again, they scored 3 goals, so you'd think he needs to be, but, you know, Reading didn't have any shots on target. Swansea, it was a massive ricochet that beat him. It, you know, had that have been the normal shot, I think it was going wide. Huddersfield, which I know we'll come on to, didn't really, you know, test him an awful lot. So the defence is whilst it was a little bit leaky at the start, I think we'd conceded 2 goals in a lot of the games, sort of August, September time. The defence are kind of doing their job and stepping up in the absence of Captain Hutchinson as well.
Yeah, definitely. We've touched upon it. Well, I certainly have. I was quite critical of Creswell early in the year, but he's been brilliant. Really has. He made a tackle in the second half and he's just a Millwall person, it seems like. He's really grasped that mentality and way of being a Millwall player. And he just, as I say, he made a tackle in the second half, got straight up into Patterson's face and was giving it to him. And it was just, yeah, it's great to see that from a lone player, especially a lone player from Leeds. But he's really stepped up. Coops was brilliant. I did see a few people saying it was Murray Wallace's best game for a while, and I wasn't sure about that. I thought he looked a bit shaky at times, but he has done all season, really. And maybe something we'll come on to in a sec. But my dad and I were talking about poor Muzzer, and I think next year he might have to be moved on. He's been a great servant for us. But yeah, I felt like he was, if they were going to score, it was going to come down our left, their right.
Or potentially with Murray Wallace, again, we might come on to this, perhaps be the backup centre-back, a left-footed centre-back, rather than persist with him on the left-hand side. Moving on to, unfortunately, Saturday. I think most Millwall supporters, probably us included, were kind of looking at the form table, looking at the league table, looking at the fact that we were going for 9 points in a week. It was kind of written...
That just never happens, does it?
No,
it just was... saying that sounds daft that we expected to win.
It was kind of written in the stars. I think we spoke prior before coming on the show about Neil Warnock and his tactics in the press before the game. It was almost as if he was trying to, I don't want to say butter us up a little bit, but it did come across that way, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I like Neil Warnock.
So do I.
I do like to think he has got a bit of a soft spot for us. But I do really think on Saturday, and my dad kind of highlighted it to me, and he said, I think he's just buttering us up, because it was kind of like, Thursday started making noises, then Friday there was something else come out, and then even Saturday morning there was something else come out, and it was just constantly him being nice about us. And it did seem like there was an element of him, as you say, trying to butter us up and just make us go a bit soft for Saturday. And it seemed like it worked a treat. And look, I obviously didn't go Saturday, but I've seen the highlights. What were your kind of thoughts about the game, Stephen? General thoughts?
We huffed and puffed, and we obviously had a lot of the ball. We don't like having a lot of the ball, which was the problem, because our players are more built for to spring and to counter and to kind of, you know, catch teams further up the pitch. And like Flemings, your players like even Leonard running from deep prefer to sort of spring away rather than have the ball and have to do something with it. Unfortunately, we have the chance to change the game with Voggy in the first half. If he scores, which he should score, it's 1-0 after 10 minutes. Their heads drop. Their game plan goes out the window. Warnock's comments have gone out the window. And it's a completely different game because they then have to try and come at us and maybe try and play football, which they clearly didn't want to do. They didn't want to come and play at the Den. And unfortunately,
just on that point of the first goal and one of the missed chance of Voggy, just outside of that, exactly what you've just said, I almost felt like that first goal Saturday was just so crucial, because you just knew, as you said, if that goes in after the first 2 minutes, again, everything you've just said, the heads drop, game plan goes out the window, the fans, in terms of our fans, we're up for it then. You'd like to think we'd probably coast through that game and win 2 or 3-0 at that point. They go 1-0 up like they did, and again, you just see them sitting in, and again, seems like all they did is they just sit in, and we struggled to break teams down.
I think the other thing he would have done as well is a lot of the supporters were going into the game thinking, oh, we know what's coming here. You score that early goal and everyone goes, oh, hold on a minute, actually, we're winning the game, and the atmosphere in the ground changes. Warnock was right in what he said, that the crowd were quite silent because there was the expectation of we're playing at the team at the bottom of the league, we struggle, and the game followed that kind of pattern. I think it was wrong. You said it about the Swansea game to go with the same team. I think he should have changed it to start up with on Saturday. I think it was a really good opportunity to, even though they're not like Watford, clearly they're at the bottom of the league, the performance against Watford at home where we were bang on it, really in their faces early doors, I think Watmore and Burke would have given you that. They would have given that kind of impetus to be able to really put pressure on the back or their back four. I don't have anything against George Honeyman. I think he's been a really good player over the last couple of weeks. I thought he was actually quite good on Saturday and he was unlucky to be taken off. But the game needed a bit of pace. We needed a bit of up and at him. We didn't quite have it. Second half, the changes were made. Romain Essay come on, and obviously after they'd scored, and he looked absolutely fantastic. He really did. It just everything about him at the moment seems to ooze class. He obviously got called up to the under-18s during the week, and you can see why. You can see why that he'd be wanted in that setup. But we just couldn't. And similar to what we said about Long, I know Huddersfield had one chance, really, maybe two, that Long had to save. But their goalkeeper didn't really have to make any saves in the second half. We shot from distance. We didn't, and when we did shoot from distance, it was in positions where they didn't need to. Whereas there was occasions, I think Fleming had one, and I want to say Watmore had one, where they really had a chance to shoot and they played the pass, so they took an extra touch, and it just seemed that we went into panic mode when we didn't really need to. Huddersfield are not going to cause many teams many problems. They had a good week. Fair play to them. They had a game plan and they executed it pretty much spot on. But from our point of view, I think we probably should have freshened up the starting 11, and in the second half, we panicked.
I was just looking then, just on the starting 11 points, it's the same starting lineup now for the last four games. I'm surprised by that because, as I said, I think the Norwich game was coming at a time where we all thought, it was a really tough run of Sheffield United, Burnley, Stoke, Luton, obviously then Norwich. And we started to look like we needed a week off and we could really do without playing midweek. And then we got that week off. And I don't know if Rowett then looked at it and thought, well, we've had a week off, so the players should be fresh because they've been playing Saturday, Tuesday for the last however long. But it did, even against Swansea Tuesday night, I felt like it was screaming out for someone a bit like Shackleton, who's I've heard him be likened to Ben Thompson. It's probably not a bad comparison at the minute. I think he's a lot better player than Ben Thompson. He's probably a bit harsh from Shackleton, but just that bit of energy and just say you're fighting for your shirt, get out there and just run around like a headless chicken sort of mentality. And that sort of energy I felt like we needed.
I think the Swansea game sapped a lot of energy out of the players. And it would have been, I know Rowett come out and said, didn't he, that he was close to changing it, but he decided against last minute kind of thing. I don't think anybody going to the game on Saturday would have been surprised or disappointed had there been changes, because Swansea did run us around. We were chasing the ball. They did use up a lot of energy, which there's no shame in that. You know, Swansea are a good footballing side. But as you say, with it's almost as if they'd been praying for a week off. They got it and then said to the players, well, you can play three games in a week because you've had your rest.
Which
I think we'll come on to. I think Shackleton possibly was quite unlucky not to start in a number of positions.
I feel quite harsh just on that Shackleton piece. I feel like I've been harsh on him there, saying, just come on and run around like a headless chicken. I knew what I meant by that. Just get energy into the team. But he's not that sort of player. But yeah, I feel like we just needed that bit of freshness in there.
And I think the other thing with Shackleton as well is he gives you a little bit of a little bit of experience at playing. I know it sounds stupid, but you can be a championship footballer, but he was a top six championship footballer with Leeds. He knows what it takes to get sides. He was in a side that got promoted. So he knows what it takes to get out of this division as a squad. I know he might not have played as much at Leeds, and that's why he's back down in the championship. But I think there's an argument perhaps for him to have played. In saying that, I think Ryan Leonard's been very good. Obviously, George Saville is one of our better players. But there's no shame in players needing a rest. And I know people will say, oh, they're professional footballers, they're athletes, they should be able to play, they're paid lots of money. And they are. And that's a fair point. But playing 90 minutes Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday it's not easy to be at your best. That's why, I know it sounds really stupid to compare this, but that's why in tournament football, the best teams are the ones that find consistency, because you have to play regularly. The teams that don't have consistency get knocked out in the World Cup and Euros. So I think Rowett possibly got it wrong by not changing the team on Saturday. I can understand you don't change a winning team, but I think it was an opportunity missed.
Yeah, and I felt like it was, just because, again, who we were playing, and we probably should have predicted a bit more that we would have got the ball a bit more than we did. Obviously, have Tuesday night against Swansea, it was hard not to. I think we only had 25% possession or something in the end, so it was hard not to have any less than that. But it was probably a game where, as you said, we could have made changes and we probably could have played Watmore, for example, who's a bit more direct. Burke, again, we'll come on to. I'm really struggling with Burke. And yeah, we'll come on to just the players in a bit. But even someone like that, just a bit of pace and just change it a bit. And as good as I feel like we speak about Vogie a lot, and we speak about him playing out of position, is he playing out of position? But if he's playing in that wide right role, he's kind of there because of his defensive duties. And again, we should have looked at it perhaps and gone, we're going to have more of the ball against Huddersfield. So can we play Watmore from the start, or even give SA a start? Can we just have someone that's going to unlock that door? Because as you say, we're going to have a bit more of it, and we're going to need someone to have that pass. Someone who I really think we've missed, and again, I noticed it against Tuesday night against Swansea, is Billy Mitchell. And I mean it from a sense of just linking that, just getting the ball off the centre halves. And it was something that I noticed again, probably when you're there, you notice it a bit more, but we seem to go so direct when we had it against Swansea. I know they probably put us under a bit of pressure from their press as well after they lost it, but we were going so direct into Bradders, and poor Bradders just got battered, and he just didn't have a chance. They had two massive centre-halves, and he just didn't win a ball all night. And it was, again, a tough run of games that he's just coming to the end to. It was the last thing he needed, was just chasing shadows all night. But we needed that someone in midfield to go and get it, and we didn't seem to have that from Leonard or Saville Tuesday. I don't know if it was the same against Huddersfield. Probably wasn't, because, again, we probably had more of the ball. But I feel like we're missing Mitchell a bit, just to get that ticket over and just get the move started for us.
The other thing I think we were aware of Billy Mitchell, where he's improved and where possibly we were lacking on Saturday, was that Saville and Leonard were the option for the centre halves to pass the ball to because Huddersfield was so deep. So they were. It was either you either pass to them and it's their job to try and pick a pass, find someone, or as we saw Cresswell ventured forward about four times on his own. He sort of bombed forward one time, had a shot, which wasn't too bad. Another time he probably should have had another go, but decided to pass, obviously being a centre half, probably thought better of it. But Saville and Leonard, whilst I like both players, obviously George Saville is one of, in my opinion, probably one of our best players. But the roles that they're asked to play, they're not players that are going to pick a pass that's going to unlock.
They're not playmakers, are they? No. They're box to box, breaking up play midfielders. They're not.
Yeah, Leonard's full of energy. He's not gonna play a killer pass. He might score the odd goal and he might get the odd assist, but he's not gonna thread the ball through to someone. And I thought that's where I thought maybe on Saturday, where again they got it a little bit wrong. George Honeyman and Fleming's link up in the first half was quite good. They were coming central, little 1-2s and movement, which is how you beat teams at the bottom of the league. I think the move, what would have been better for us, would have been to put Honeyman in the middle and give him that license to, because I think he would be someone that could play those passes and he does have the energy.
Yeah, again, be that kind of, because again, we obviously had the ball more. I think, again, if someone went to the game Tuesday or a Swansea fan looked at our possessions that Saturday, they would have gone, what the hell did we watch Tuesday compared to what they've done Saturday? I think we had 72% or something Saturday. So again, you needed someone, as you say, to get on the ball a bit and find those paths, thread the ball through the lines, get it into Fleming in the 10 role and out wide. As we say, Saville and Leonard aren't those sorts of players. They are your proper breaking up play defensive midfielders or your box-to-box hard men, if you like.
It's interesting because Saville was never like that when he was first. He was the goal-scoring midfielder, but he's changed his game. And I think Billy Mitchell... I think Billy Mitchell, as you say, gives you that little bit of energy, that impetus, that kind of drive to go forward. And whilst, look, Billy Mitchell has improved massively and he's going to continue to improve and he is a big miss, but where it really shows is in those games like Saturday where you need someone to take
on the ball
game
the time.
By the scruff of the neck and try and do something. And it was left to Cresswell and Cook. I mean, Cooper, he scored a goal against Charlton a few years ago. Do you remember where he bombed forward and ended up
playing like left wing back, didn't he? He slotted it in.
Cooper and Cresswell were the only ones really driving forward at the Huddersfield defence. Now, great. It's all a bit of a fantasy, centre-halves bomb forward and have a shot and it's all, you know, at 0-0 with 20 minutes gone. It's not too bad. But you need one of your midfielders to be doing that. Someone who's got that little bit of quality that can finish it off or find a pass. And, Billy Mitchell was back in training. I think he's on...
Is he?
I think there was... a picture posted of him on Friday that he was back training on. He was back on grass, and I think Mason Bennett was there as well, who's another person who I think we miss in terms of having another option of a forward who I think with a little bit of pace, someone who I think would be more trusted to do a job for 20 minutes taking Bradshaw off than maybe any of the others are. But Mitchell's back in training. I think that's a real big boost for the remaining eight games.
Yeah, really is. And again, just going back to Saturday, I don't want to dwell on it too much because it was a poor result. But it would have taken some real big balls from Rowett to say, I don't know, we would have dropped Leonard or Saville and played Honeyman in there and then played Watmore or Burke and gone a bit more attacking. But again, look, we're sitting there just talking about the game and analysing it, and it's easy to say now after we've had 72% possession and dominating the ball, but maybe we should have gone down that route and we should have only played one of the defensive midfielders and gone a little bit more attacking. But on the flip side, that goes against everything Rowett has kind of built with us, really.
Or even though in the second half, like the changes that were made, players were like for like. So Watmore come on for Honeyman, Burke come on for Voggy, and they were kind of played out wide, which is fine. You can go like for like, but I just felt at the time he took Honeyman off, I thought Honeyman was having a really, really good game, and I think he should have stayed on the pitch. and been moved more central. If you take George Saville off, Ryan Leonard's got the legs. Leonard can cover that midfield because he's got the energy and the legs to get around. And if it did get to a point where he was tired, you just bring on Shackleton to do that job. If we'd have scored, Huddersfield would not at 1-1 would not have come at us. They would have sat deeper and deeper. You didn't need to have the cover there. You didn't. It just didn't need to happen. But as you say, hindsight's a wonderful thing. If we'd have known what was going to happen, Rao probably would have gone with Watmore and Burke from the start and whatnot.
Absolutely. Probably leads us quite nicely into now, but I want to ask you a question. How did Fleming do Saturday? Because, again, a game like that where you feel like we're going to have a lot of the ball, and we're talking about people breaking the lines and making something happen for us out of nothing, or grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck. How did he do Saturday? Because I feel in general his form's been dropping a little bit.
It's the first time, I think, all season that a opposition manager has gone, right, we're gonna do a job on him. And we'll see how good he is. There was moments in the first half where his play, his touch. I mean, there was a 1-2 with Honeyman and then Fleming got the ball back, hit a shot with his left foot. If it was on target, it goes in because the keeper's not going to get there, but it just trickled past the post. But second half, they put their holding midfielder and just sat him on Fleming for 45 minutes and said, go on then, we got. And whilst we all know he's a good player, we've seen it before. Years ago, Jimmy Abdu used to do that to your Adel Taraps, your Wes Houlihans, you know, you name them, Jimmy Abdu, mark them out of the game.
Yeah.
And I think it was a lot of respect paid by Huddersfield and Warnock to say to a club like Millwall, who perhaps don't have the most fashionable players or we're always told we're physical and direct, that they were worried about our best player and they put someone on him. In saying that, if he wants to continue on and become a better player and move forward and perhaps get that move, he needs to find a way of being able to shrug off being man marked. He unfortunately didn't. I think the fact he was man marked led to probably the worst free kick he will ever take in his life. That my dad and I sit behind the goal. I sit directly in line with the penalty spot. And as the ball was put down, he said, one of us up here is going to catch it. And lo and behold, fella behind us trying to edit because it come up.
I saw him again Tuesday night. He was standing, everyone else had gone in just before kickoff and he was standing out. They probably had three or four free kicks. And little plug for my Twitter, but if anyone wants to see a free kick taken at Den, go and see my goal last year because I scored at Den. I didn't see him hit one and go, I fancy him to score today. Mm. Every single one was like, wasn't struck cleanly. He was obviously trying to do that kind of knuckle ball and get it to dip. And I don't think, I just looked at it and thought, it's weird that, because you might, I don't know, if you see your set piece specialist practicing that before the game, you might, with no keeper in, you see him hit the back of the net cleanly. And everyone was bouncing before it was going in the net. And I just thought, are we trying to force this with him a bit? Or is he just saying, I'm the best player in the team, I'm taking the free kicks? But
I think there's a
he's gone from taking throw-ins to free kicks now.
I think there's a hint of with Fleming. I think taking the throw-ins off of him with Leonard in is absolutely right. Leonard's throw-ins are like a rocket.
Fleming had the worst long throw for a long throw specialist. I'd ever seen.
it was just loopy. Leonard's a flat and like a rocket. It's like a corner or a free kick coming in.
And that's so, what you want, right? They're the ones.
And you want Fleming on the edge of the box to be hitting them if it bounces out.
Yeah.
I think with Fleming, the problem is, and we might see this more and more, I don't know if West Brom are going to do a similar tactic. They might do. But because they're obviously a better side than Huddersfield, they may not have a man marker, should we say, someone who's going to try and take Fleming out of the game. But Fleming has come over and, by all accounts, is a foreign player coming to English football. He's been very, very good. There's no getting away from that. But over the last few weeks, I think there's frustration because we... we're not creating loads of chances. We're not getting that many free kicks, really, for him to have a go. I thought the run at Reading To shrug off the defender, to knock it round the goalkeeper was class. He was very, very good. So he's still, you know, impacting games. But I see him against Swansea, and especially Saturday, he's dropping deeper and deeper and deeper to pick up the ball. I liken him a little bit to Harry Kane in an England shirt.
Yeah.
Because Kane doesn't get enough of the ball when he's playing for England. He wants the ball and he's dropping deeper. And then, you know, Fleming's, you know, a couple of times come back into our half to pick the ball up from the centre half to try and influence the game. But he's not going to influence the game. No,
yeah,
he's not going to do anything from 50 yards, 60 yards. You need him on the edge of the box. That's where you need his little bit of magic.
I think frustration is the right way to describe it. And again, Tuesday night, I felt that he was trying. And when, again, probably because they frustrated us by how much ball they did have, when we did get it and he got it in particular, he would then try just something that wasn't needed. He would try and take someone on or try and, sounds stupid, he would try and make something happen out of nothing. Where at times, at that point in the game, we just needed to keep it for 5 minutes because we hadn't touched it for 25. But yeah, just interesting. It was something we spoke about before we come on, wasn't it? And I just felt like maybe his form was dipping a little bit, but maybe I've been a bit harsh.
It's not. I don't necessarily think that it's harsh. I just think that maybe the tiredness is contributing to it. But we're not. We didn't have many attempts on goal against Reading. Really, I mean, I was there. The penalty was obviously a good penalty, but we didn't. There was a couple of half attempts, and at the end where Burke could have put Fleming in to score, and he chose Bradshaw. Swansea, again, I don't really recall us having that many efforts on goal.
We had such Leonard's long-range shot, and then we scored the two goals, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're not having loads and loads of chances. And again, on Saturday, I think we had four shots on target. I know we had lots of shots, but a lot of them were off target. But we're not creating the chances that we were in that run of games where everything he touched turned to gold. He's not having efforts from around the edge of the box as often. And I think it's frustration. And that's boiling over because the fans expect a lot from him. And rightly so. He is still, people have to remember, he is still the record signing. He is still the main man, the man that they brought in to replace Jed Wallace, who was supposed to be the step up. And by all accounts, he is. But I think we need to find a way of getting him 20 to 30 yards from goal, playing those killer passes or having a shot on goal. Because if you keep asking him to go out wide or you keep asking him to drop deep, you're going to lose everything that has got him the goals that he's got so far.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree.
And on the subject of form of players, it's interesting that I think, if we come on to Watmore and Oliver Burke, because by all accounts, I mean, against Sheffield United, Oliver Burke was very, very good. Interesting that it was his old team, but that may have something to do with it. I think Duncan Watmore had a very good game at QPR, starting and obviously scoring and impacting the game. But they don't get a look in, do they? They don't get a look in.
Is Watmore, is his fitness, is it injuries? Because he got a niggle, didn't he, after the QPR game? He had a niggle because he didn't play against Coventry, I don't think. Again, we said this before recording, Burke I'm really struggling with, really struggling with. And again, what did he come on Tuesday night? The last 10 minutes, 15 minutes when Bradders couldn't do any more running? And all you want to see is him coming on with fresh. He's absolutely rapid. I'm sure he could run 100 metres in probably close to 11 seconds if he wanted. He's so quick.
Yeah.
All I wanted him to do was run around and close them down their back four, back two, the two centre-halves. And he shows no desire for me. And
no.
I struggle with that. And I gave him barrel loads Tuesday night because he didn't do a stroke when he come on. And I just feel like if he wants to burst into the side, it's not going to be... It's Gary Rowett you're trying to impress. If he goes and scores two goals, obviously that's going to impress him. But doing what he did or coming on, he's going to go, I'm going to have to play Bradders again because I'm not going to get what I need out of but by potentially starting him, it seems like down the middle, because Bradders does do the hard yards and the chasing and the harrying that most centre forwards don't like doing. But again, as a fan base and as a club, we've always been we love centre forwards that do that. How many have we had over the years? Greggs was brilliant at it. Morrison was brilliant at it. Gary Alexander was brilliant at it. Bomber to certain extent. He ran channels all the time. The list goes on with centre forwards that we love because they do the hard yards, and he just doesn't do that. He might have all the ability in the world, and we talk about how many millions he's gone with all his transfers, but I struggle with him. And when we got him back, there was an element me included. I went, not bad. I don't mind that. We spoke about it a million times. He probably wasn't in our top 3, 4, or 5 that we were targeting, but he's got to do more for me. Watmore's an interesting one. Is he injured? Has he had a bit of a niggle that the club don't want to tell us about? Don't know. Is it form? If it's form, we haven't seen enough of him. So is it Rowett not seeing what he wants to see in training? Don't know. But we haven't seen a lot of Watmore really outside the QPR game.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What's frustrating is the fact that I think with Duncan Watmore, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get 60, maybe 70 minutes if he starts, and he'll give you everything, and it's hustle and bustle, and he tries to make things happen. Even when he came on Saturday, he tried to make things happen. It didn't always work, didn't always come off, but he was running at people. He was trying to find a pass, trying to have a shot on goal or a cross or whatever. But it's almost as if, and this is going to sound a bit contradictory because I'm going to say, but I get the feeling that Rowett doesn't want to start Watmore because he knows he's going to have to take him off because he knows he's not going to be able to last the game, which you knew that when you signed him because he didn't play 90 minutes at Middlesbrough. He's had that. And again, I know I mentioned this guy earlier, Mason Bennett. Mason Bennett starts games and comes off every time and there's no issue with it. Why not do the same with what? I don't get that. I don't understand.
Do we think he's injured? Do we think he's fit? Or is it the latter, as I said, there's something that Rowett's not liking in training or something?
I think there's something behind the scenes. There has to be. There is absolutely no reason why you would play the same team 3 weeks in, three games in a week, knowing how much energy was taken out of the players on the Tuesday night. There is no reason why you wouldn't make changes. I can't think of it. I know they say you don't change a winning team, but come on, you know, the players, you could tell.
He did start against Coventry, so I was just going back through and having a look. So he started QPR, started against Coventry, and then that was it. He didn't start against Sheffield United, no. So he started the first two available games, and then after that,
I don't know what the answer is with him. Going back to who I mentioned, another player that I mentioned earlier is Romain Essé. I think we have to be trying to get... I don't think Rowett knows what his best position is. Someone on Twitter replied to me when I mentioned that I was talking about Essé after the game on Saturday and saying that Rowett left it too long to put him out wide. He played him central. I think SA can play in that attacking midfield role. I think he can play either wing. I just don't think anyone knows what his proper position is at the moment because he's so young. So I don't have an issue with him playing, you know, wide left, wide right, through the middle, whatever you want to do. But we've got to see more of him. You know, I don't know if they showed it. Obviously, he wasn't there on Saturday, but there was one point where he was on the right-hand side, did a couple of step-overs, a couple of tricks, skinned the defender, drilled a perfect ball along the floor, crying out for someone in the middle to just tap it into an empty net, and you just think, yeah, he's this boy's quality, and yeah. He needs more game time. He really needs, especially at the moment ahead of Burke. I think he offers more than what Burke does.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree. Well, he absolutely does. He absolutely does. Burke needs to do more for me. And yeah, I don't know if he's just waiting until the end of the year. He knows he's not going to be staying. Don't know, but yeah, he doesn't do enough for me. And this last, what we got, 2, 4, 6, 8 games left. Yeah. We can't be reliant on Bradders to be playing 90 minutes of every game. He's going to probably be, but you need some help, right? Again, West Brom, you'd think Bradders is just give everything you've got for 70 minutes, run your nuts off for 70 minutes. Then we need someone else to go and do that bit of work. Do I have any faith in Burke being that man? No, but he's going to be that man.
Well, the only saving grace, and I touched on it earlier, is Mason Bennett. Because, mate, and I know people will say he's made of glass, he's injured all the time. But if you give Mason Bennett 20 minutes after Bradshaw's had his, you know, give us everything, Bennett is more than capable of doing the job that Bradshaw does for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And I think he might be a bit quicker than Bradshaw. Bradshaw might have that little bit of guile in his around the box and his movement, but Bennett can do that job. And I don't want Bennett to come into the squad at the detriment of Romain Essa, which I think may be the case. But if that is the case, then the sub that needs to happen is that it's not Burke that comes off the bench, it's Bennett.
Yeah, no, I agree. Anyway, on that dreary note, let's be a bit more happy. Something we spoke about was the last time we had a bit of we're trying to decide what it was, but the last break that we had. So we looked at the Cardiff game was on the 21st of Jan, then we played on the 4th of Jan against Sunderland. So we've played 11 games in the period up until this international break and got 18 points. I personally, that's a very good return considering who we played.
I think Rowett would have been very pleased with those accumulated points. Most of the supporters, I think, would be pleased with those accumulated points. I think the run of fixtures, as you say, the Sheffield United, Burnley, Norwich, Luton, I think they were four games out of five in a spell. You know, to come away with the points that we did was very good. I think it has been a very good return for the squad. I saw a tweet earlier that we've picked up, I think, the fourth most points since
this calendar year.
Yeah, since January the 1st. So, you know, the run of form this year has been very, very good. Unfortunately, I think it could be better and perhaps should be better. But I would imagine that if you look at every team in the division is going to look at, apart from maybe Burnley, are going to look at their fixtures and go, we should have got more points or we should have got something there. So that's not just a Millwall thing. I think that's across the board. But overall, I would say probably the rearranged Burnley fixture. So we had a weekend off since then. I think it's been probably, I'd say, sort of around an 8 out of 10 spell for the club. I think they have had issues with injuries, and it has kind of meant that some players have had to keep going and going and going, i.e. your Tom Bradshaws and your George Savills, etc. But to take points off of some of the teams that we have has been very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah, Green, looking back on those, there's not many. I mean, we can probably argue about the Luton game till we're blue in the face and everyone's going to have a bit of differing opinions on that, but it wasn't a very good performance from us. I think Luton are a very good side. Mm-hmm. I think we were very, very, very fortunate to be 2-0 up at that point. So I would take a point from that game. But yeah, outside of that, you look back at the results. Coventry, we didn't perform very well. Great result against Sheffield United. Good point against Burnley. So, there's not many in there you look back on and think, apart from Huddersfield, probably where you go, we could have picked up three more.
The only one that bugs me still is Sunderland. And it really bugs me because they only scored because Long come out for that free kick. I'm not going to jump on his back. I think there have been times where he has been a little bit questionable, But there's also been times where he's kicking and he's made some incredible saves. Like one of the saves against Luton, I know they probably scored off of the rebound, but to tip it onto the bar from where he was incredible. Yeah. And he is a good goalkeeper. But
and just want to chuck into the mix the three saves he made at Sheffield United when we were in front.
Yeah.
It was Gordon Banks-esque.
Especially there was one that he made, I think McBurney ran through the middle and just they completely carved us open. You think, oh, this is a goal. And it was a big, made him.
That was
a,
was that at 2-2, I think?
I'm not sure. It was in the second half because I remember being.
But I think that if they'd have scored, they would have gone in front.
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, as I say, his keeping's been very good. But Sunderland were poor that day. They come with Diallo and you know, everyone's saying, oh, he's going to roast Murray Wallace. We kept Sunderland at bay. We were so good that day. We had the dodgy goal disallowed with Honeyman's, where Saville was stood in the way and whatnot. We were so good that day. And I think we were unlucky we really, really should have won the game. But other than that, the results probably, I mean, you'd argue that Stoke, we were incredibly lucky to win at Stoke. Maybe probably should have beat Sunderland, probably were lucky to get something at Stoke. Luton, again, you can't really argue with Coventry. We were poor that day. So overall, I think we've got what we've deserved out of these games, I think.
I don't think in the Championship, is there, where that you don't. But yeah, I've been very happy with that 18 points. So I would have gone a 7 or an 8 out of 10 as well. So that's been the previous 11 games. Now looking forward, so we've got 8 games left. The next two, West Brom away, Luton at home. Are they season defining? I mean that in a sense. If we get beat by both, or get a point from two, do you think? If the results go against us, and obviously West Brom then close the gap, Coventry close the gap, Watford close the gap, and we get a point or worse, do you think that's season defining?
If we lose both, we're struggling. Because if you lose two in a row at this stage of the season, the teams, Coventry, are in good form. And that will give them a huge lift. Norwich, I'm not sure. Norwich are really hit and miss. They win a game, they lose a game. They win a game, they lose a game. So I'm not sure about them. But Coventry seem to be the team that's perhaps putting on that run that a team tends to be.
One team in there that sneaks in, sixth. And they seem to say it's such a slow start. They seem to have that just aura about them of being that team, right? They've just slowly crept up the league. And
they've got the goal scorer. To do it. They've got Guy Carrez. So I think if you lose to West Brom and you lose to Luton, I think we're massively, massively struggling, because then you're playing catch up with 6 games to go. And then you're in the position that we've been in for the last 3 years, where you need a favour from other teams. I don't think if we lose to West Brom, it's not season defining. That game is not the one. The two together, as you say, that's the problem. If you don't get anything from them, I am going to put my neck on the line a little bit and say that I don't think West Brom are going to beat us.
Them a couple of times, and I watched them against Hull a couple of weeks ago. They were on telly. And my God, they absolutely battered them. I watched the first half, I think it was, and it was 0-0, and was like, well, this is just, I'm going to look at the result later, and West Brom would have won. It was literally like the Alamo. How they didn't score, it was ridiculous. And obviously they got beat 2-0. They have got that kind of result in them, but I just think, I can't see us getting anything Saturday.
I think Luton's more of a worry, because I think Luton away
Luton
from
are
home,
a really good side.
Luton away from home are very strong.
Did I hear or see that they've got the most away points in the Championship this season?
I think so. They're up there. They're certainly, I mean, Burnley might have something to say about that, but they certainly are up there. But I think the Luton one's an interesting one. I think West Brom, as much, I know they've got a game in hand on us, but they are still 5 points behind.
That is two games, right? We have to lose two games for them to go above us.
And I think, I know they play us, so obviously that does have a massive impact on that, because if they win and then the game in hand, they can go above us, etc. But the games in hand have been scheduled right near the end of the season for, I think it's Blackburn, Sheffield United, Burnley and West Brom are the teams around us that have got games in hand still. So a lot's going to happen before them. And I would rather have the points on the board than have them going into those games needing something.
Yeah.
And I think with West Brom, and this is, if any of the Millwall players are listening to this, you probably think we are waffling. But if you take anything from this, if you are listening, the pressure is not on Millwall. We are not expected to skywrite us off. All the pundits talk about us last. Oh, they're just hanging around. You know, they do their little thing and they'll drop off, etc. West Brom have got massive expectation. Their supporters expect them to be in the top six.
They will expect to beat us.
Yeah, and the thing is, that might well be the case. They might expect to beat us, but as it stands, we have 5 more points than them. We are having a better season. Yeah. So the pressure is on them. It's not on us. A point at West Brom, regardless of whether Coventry and Norwich win, if we get a point, we still stay above them for another week. So it's still in our hands. And I think I wouldn't go to West Brom and set up defensively. I wouldn't go there, because I think Wallace and Swift and co are very good at breaking teams down. But West Brom isn't season defining. And as I say, I don't think they're going to beat us. I would bank on that being a draw. I really would. And
I hope you're right.
I never, ever say that, especially going away from home, because you never know what you're going to get. But I just think it's a real, you know, again, the bookies are going to look at that and they're going to go, West Brom are going to win that game. Everyone's going to write us off, and that's where we're at our best. And yeah. I just think I'm more worried about Luton. I really am worried about that. That's the one that concerns me. But you lose both, you're in trouble. You lose against West Brom, which again, I don't think we will. It's not the end of the world.
And then after that, we've obviously got Hull away, Preston at home. Do we think Preston are too far back, 7 points? So would they, if we lost those two games and they had, I know it's a lot of teams in between them and the playoffs, but they're on the same points as Sunderland, albeit they've got a very, very bad goal difference. They've got -9, Sunderland are +7. Do we think they're, what I'm trying to get at is, do we think if we got to the Preston game, results went their way, they've closed the gap a bit, it's all quite tight, do we think they would still be hanging around the playoffs, or do we still think they're going to be 7-8 points behind?
I mean, the issue is, as you said there, is the number of teams that are between them and us. So they're not just relying on us to lose games. They're relying on everybody else to lose games. I said it about a month ago. I think it was just before the Burnley game. We're going to know how our season is, who is likely to be the contenders and how our season's going to go after Hull away, because you'd have played two fixtures in a weekend. You'd obviously had the West Brom beforehand. There'll be 5 games to go at that point, I believe. Yeah. And I think at that point, your teams that are 7 points behind with 5 games to go, they're not going to make that up. Yeah. It becomes harder. So I think you'll go into the Preston game knowing a little bit more. I'm not avoiding your question, because I think it's too hard.
No, I think what I was kind of angling at is, I'm hoping by that point, Hull look like they're going to be safe, won't have anything to play for, hopefully, by that point. Preston then hopefully may still have slight aspirations, or they might still think they can get in there. Very, very slim chance, might be 1-2%, but they still might think they can get in there. So after that, we've got, as I say, Hull, Preston, Birmingham again, pretty much safe. We don't know what's going on with the points deductions. Wigan got their 3 points today, so they should be down by the time we play them. Blackpool. Mm-hmm. And then obviously a huge, huge game, last game of the season. So if we can avoid defeat in both games against West Brom, I would take 5 points. That sounds like a lot looking at three fixtures and the three fixtures that we've got, but I would take 5 points.
From West Brom, Luton and Hull. If you get 5 points from those games, I think after the whole game, you'll be either hanging on to the playoffs. Literally,
so you think if we get 5 points, you think we'll still be hanging on?
It'll be hanging on by a point, or we'll be outside by a point. It won't be because.
See, I think I'm being optimistic with 5 points. I think that's more realistically. I'm thinking more 3 points.
if we take 3 points from those three games, then we're struggling. You can't, at this stage of the season, 3 points from three games isn't enough. Yeah. So whilst it's realistic, and I get where you're coming from, I think if that's the case, then we are massively struggling. The other thing that as well you have to take into account, I mean, the fixtures, I put it in the chat earlier, didn't I? The next Saturday, 8 clubs that are going for the top 6 play each other.
Well, I've just had a look, right? So Norwich's next 4 games are Sheffield United, Blackburn, Rotherham, and Middlesbrough.
Yeah, see, they're not gonna pick up. I mean, they'll probably get 3 at Rotherham, but the other 3 games, Sheffield United need to try and keep Middlesbrough away, and Middlesbrough need to try and keep on Sheffield United.
Just had a look at the last game of the season. Obviously, we've got Blackburn, Coventry have got Middlesbrough. So imagine if Coventry need to win to get in the playoffs, Borough need to get in to win to get in automatic. We've obviously got Blackburn, as I said. I think I just saw that Norwich have got Blackpool. So again, they could need to win to stay up. So I mean, the last game of the season is going to be huge. Let's have a look at Luton. Luton have got Hull, so they've got an easy fixture.
I'm going to put you on the spot now.
Luton, looking at the fixtures, they're going to be looking at their next three. They've got Watford, ourselves, and Blackpool. So they're going to be going, obviously, local derby, got us, and then they've got Blackpool, again, fighting for their lives. So their three aren't easy. So you look at ours, you look at Norwich's, and you look at Luton's, we've all got 3 relatively tough fixtures coming up.
I'll be honest with you, Middlesbrough, Blackburn and Luton, if they're playing any of Coventry, Watford or Norwich, they can smash them for all I care, because I don't care. If you get in the top 6, you get in the top 6. I would rather Luton can go to Watford and win. Take points off of Watford. It don't matter. Just take points off of them, and then it aids us in what we're trying to do. I don't care, and I'm sure you don't. I'm sure listeners and all supporters across the country or across the world who support Millwall, we just need to finish in that top 6. It don't matter if it's by a point, by 5 points, if it's goal difference, it doesn't make a difference. So any of the teams below us, if they drop points, it can only help us. However, I am going to put you on the spot now, Ben.
Thanks, mate.
There's no sitting on the fence with this one. We're going into the Blackburn game. Where are we?
Oh, we'll have to get our fixtures up again and just think about this. I think we will be going into the Blackburn game with probably 2 or 3 teams still hanging on in there for that 6th place. And I think we'll be 1 of 3 that if we get the right result, we will win. So if we beat Blackburn, I think we'll be in there. So, but I think it'll be tight between 3 teams is what I'm thinking come the end of the season.
So you think we'll be 6th going into that last game and a win will do it?
I mean, I said on one of the previous pods that I thought we'd finish 5th. I think we're going to finish 6th now. I think we'll get to that last game. It might even be between us and Blackburn for that 6th spot, which again will be unbelievable.
Now, I think I can see that being the scenario. Sorry to interrupt. I think that game against Blackburn, I can see that being a winner. Whoever wins gets it.
Yeah. And I just think there'll be someone else in there, whether it be Norwich, Coventry or West Brom or even Watford, that will be in and around there at that point. And Yeah, I think you're, or you could even see, yeah, one of four teams that will still be up for grabs that last game of the season. But I think if we beat Blackburn, I think we'd be the team that gets it.
See, it's interesting what you say there about West Brom, and again, tempting fate, I know. But if we go there and win,
I mean, we're being pessimistic, right? We're saying, yeah. Everything we're saying here is, yeah, we're not, we haven't even mentioned winning the game, right? Exactly. If we go there and win, again, my viewpoint is probably completely different. If we go there and win, and I almost say that's them out of the playoff picture because they're then 8 points behind us.
Even with a game in hand, but the game in hand comes too late, in my opinion. So, again, if you win that game, you know, Luton are playing Watford. If Luton beat Watford or they hold them, and again, if because I think they're on Sky because it's a derby, isn't it? They're a 12:30 kickoff. So you'll know going into that game, if Watford don't pick up 3 points, it's another opportunity for us to pull a little bit further away from them as well.
You just mentioned it. Do you know what? We probably want Luton to win that. They're 4 points above us. We don't care about the teams above us now, really.
Not interested.
We only really care about Blackburn down to Watford. So we just don't want Watford to win. We don't want to drag them into the picture. Again, they're 5 points behind us, right? So we really want Luton to do us a favour.
Even a point in that game would see us go into our game 4 points ahead of them. So again, it's at least another two games, and with games running out again, we could go on until we burn the face with scenarios and whatnot. As it stands, it's in our hands.
Scenarios and us getting in there, we get in the playoffs now. And there's something you mentioned on your Who Are You, and I'm going to chuck it out to you now. Sheffield United getting into the FA Cup semi final. They've been on a blip for their standards. Not so much now. They've won 3 out of the last 5 games, but they've still lost 2. They've looked vulnerable. We've beaten them. Is the FA Cup semi-final going to be a distraction for them, like we mentioned about our FA Cup run a while ago and how that cost us the place in the playoffs? Do we think that could be enough of a distraction for them? I know it's not a cup final, but it's still an FA Cup semi-final for their games in and around that semi-final for them to drop points and see a bit of drop-off in form for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. And I was hoping that it was Blackburn that was going to win that game. So it was then a distraction.
Yeah.
But I think so.
I'm saying that because I'm thinking then would Borough get second and would we potentially play them if they finish third is kind of where I'm thinking of that.
I think a FA Cup semi-final, it's the fact that it's at Wembley. If it was the semi-finals like they used to do years ago when it was us, when we played at Old Trafford, and I think it was Villa Park was the other one that they chose. And it was still an FA Cup semi-final, but it's the fact that it's a day at Wembley, it's a day out, it's a huge event now because it's been moved to the National Stadium. Middlesbrough fans were rather happy that Sheffield United made the FA Cup semi-final, and I quite agree with them because there are going to be players, especially some of the, maybe not some of the more experienced, but there'll be some of the younger English players that are probably thinking, oh, I want to play at Wembley, you know, I might not get an opportunity to do this. And like similar to us, you know, you do maybe come out, don't go into tackles, maybe full-blooded, you do perhaps, you know, don't want to get injured or don't want to get sent off. So I think it definitely could be a distraction, and it would be one that if it was us in that game, I'd be thinking us in sixth spot and in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, I'd have been thinking, wow, play the kids because the league's more important.
That date of the semi-final as well is on the 22nd and the 23rd of April, which is when the third last game of the season is due to be played. So that's pretty late on as well. I thought it might have been the weekend before that, when you're then thinking, okay, there's still 5 games left, but with 3 games left.
And also, Sheffield United have the game in hand already. So they've already scheduled one for that round that they've just played. They now have to schedule another one in for God knows when. There's possibly a possibility that they'll play their game in hand before that weekend if there's a free Tuesday or something. But with the bank holiday weekend, the Easter weekend, that makes it tricky to schedule games in, because obviously you play Friday, Monday. I'm not envious of Sheffield United at all making the semi-finals. I think the Middlesbrough fans are rightly excited about it themselves, because I think it does give them an opportunity. And if Sheffield United don't make the top two, they won't go up. That doesn't mean to say that we'll beat them in the playoffs. I hope we do, if it's third v six and that's the fixture. But to be in that top two and to have been told at Christmas, oh, they're running away with it, them two are done, to now potentially being caught.
They've got three more games to play.
Their momentum would be shot. Would be absolutely shot.
Well, that's a bit more like it. It's a bit more positive. Now we're even picking who we're playing in the playoffs. So,
look, I said it. I've said it for a while. I think we're going to finish sixth. I think it's going to be by the skin of our teeth that we make it. And we're not going to do it the easy way. And I think at some point we're going to be reliant on a late goal somewhere. We're going to be looking at our phones on flash scores or whatever app that you use, and it's going to come up somewhere that someone scores a goal against Blackburn or Norwich.
And we're going to be cheering.
Yeah, and it's going to put us back in the top six or something, or we're going to score a late goal that's going to see us go from eighth to sixth or something. But I think we'll just make it. The playoffs are a lottery. When you get to that point, we'll see. It's a mini league, isn't it? It's a bit of a free-for-all, but I think we'll be okay. But I think it's going to be very, very tight.
Totally agree. And as I say, we've got Blackburn. Norwich have got an easy one in Blackpool, because I say they could be fighting to stay up, and Coventry have got Middlesbrough. So it's all shaping up to be a very exciting last day of the season.
Yeah, and well, you say exciting.
Well, it's not going to be exciting. I'm going to be absolutely shitting myself.
Biting your nails and just holding head in your hands. But look, it's what we want. We want to be involved in a top six push. This is what Rowett has promised when he took over. This is what the fans expect, and everybody, the fans, the players, the board, everybody's pushing in the right direction. I don't think we can ask for much more at the moment. Yes, okay, we've lost a game that we should have won, and you look back at the season and go, we could have got points here, and we should have done this. The aim was the top six, and as it stands, that's where we are. So I think we've just got to try, and as much as it's easy to say, enjoy the ride and see where it ends up. One thing that we haven't mentioned, and I'm sure if our listeners are still listening to us at this point and haven't got bored of us waffling on about the playoffs and this, that and the other. We are up for an award, Ben. We're up for the best soccer podcast, because it's a worldwide award. There's a few people that have been.
Do you know why we're
up
for the best soccer podcast, Stephen? Because we waffle on about the playoffs.
Exactly, and that's what the people want. No, but seriously, guys, you know, I'm sure you've seen on our social media channels, and Mickey's mentioned this, and we all have. It's really cool. Obviously, myself and Ben are quite relatively new to this. We joined the podcast back in September, I believe. So we've had our little bit of we've got a little bit of our foot under the door now, and doing these shows. And obviously, the guys that have been involved longer, you know, very much appreciate that we're up for this. So when this goes out, the link will be available in the description to vote for us. Any support would be very much appreciated. Hopefully you like what we do. If there's anything else that you'd like us to do, or any other discussions, or anything that, you know, we might miss, by all means, I say, Ben and I first joined this podcast because we probably disagreed with someone that was talking on the show initially, and now here we
probably
are.
Probably each other.
Yeah. Now here we are, best of friends, waffling on, and someone probably listening to us going, nah, you don't know what you're talking about, lads. This, and by all means, come and challenge us. We're all for it. But if you could give us a vote, that would be very, very much appreciated. And the last thing from me is, Ben's Who Are You? I mentioned at the start of the show, is live on YouTube. We caught up on Valentine's Day. We had a nice little cute date together, recording for you guys. So if you want to listen back to that, again, please go back on the YouTube channel. I'm sure Ben shared it on his Twitter. It's on mine as well. If anybody wants to get involved in that, by all means, drop me a message, drop the pod a message. It doesn't have to be me that answers the questions. You might like Ben, you ask him to do it, or Mickey or Joe or any of the other guys. We're more than happy to accommodate. But Ben, I'm going to let you have the final words. Can you come up with something inspiring and that makes the people believe?
Inspiring and makes us believe. I think that from the players, it's been a huge effort over the last 2 months. I think it's time for the fans as well to make a huge effort. Let's get up there at Hull. Let's get up there to Wigan. Let's get up there to Blackpool. Let's sell out all the away ends that we can. The players are going to need our help. Let's sell out all of our remaining home games and let's make it the den, the really difficult place that most managers and players know that it is. Because, yeah, if we get it rocking, we will get a lot of points at home the remainder of the season. So, yeah, my little rally cry to all the fans to get to as many games and get as many people there as possible. But we are going to finish sixth. We are going to hang on in the playoffs and then we are going to get a day out of Wembley and then who knows. That's my inspiration.
I'm going to clip that part where you say that we're going to do all this and the other and it's going to be with us forever.
Well, you always quote me for being a pessimistic, so I'm not being optimistic.
Just to follow on what Ben said there, I think he's exactly spot on. The players are doing their bit, the fans, we can do our bit, and everyone pulling in the right direction. Hopefully we get the end result. And I will. You can clip this as well, Ben. I believe we will finish in the top six as well, so we're in it together. That's been that Millwall podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. It's been a bit different with just the two of us tonight. Please like and subscribe. This will be out on all good podcast providers and also up on YouTube later on in the week. Cheers, guys.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.